Today's reading is Psalm 105, verse 1 to 7. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength, seek his face always. Remember the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. Descendants of Abraham, his servant, O God of Jacob, his chosen ones. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. Amen.
Well, it's a great joy to be here again, and especially to be involved in Remembrance Sunday. And I do want to thank Ruth for not over panicking when things appeared to be. I'm so glad you didn't, Ruth. And thank you, Helmut, for and everyone else who sorted out the sound. Let's just bow our heads for a short prayer. Eternal God, our loving Heavenly Father, we do thank you that we live in a land that is free. And Lord, we do thank you on this day as we remember all those who made that great sacrifice in so many wars down the years. We thank you that we are free to speak our minds, to live a life of freedom, and to offer help to all those around us. Father, speak through the passage that Sharon has just read from Psalm 105. And Father, I pray that you will use the words that I've arrived at and bless them as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I think it was Judy who has to be blamed for me now picking out all sorts of single words. I think it was one of your talks. Well, I think it's the only talk you've given, isn't it? Yeah, well, I haven't done that, but while I read this psalm, these are the words that came to mind, and I only gave Ruth two of them. Remembering and thanking. Very important to remember and also to thank God. Sharing, thinking, and seeking. Those are the other words that are all combined in this psalm. Psalm 105 starts with, give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Now, you know, I digress. Now, if I don't do this now, I'm going to forget. I know Ruth's already lifted up John's gospel and the story of John Borland, and wasn't that moving? So moving. I stopped giving testimonies here, but I ought to, because I come across so many in the work I did with the Gideons and back to the Bible. People who pick up little bits of paper and their lives are changed. Or clearing up, always moved me this, clearing up the site of the big steam fair in outside Blandford Forum in Dorset. And a man who picked up a little red Gideon New Testament and Psalms. And he was just about to drop it into his bag of rubbish, and he thought, no, and put it in his pocket. Took it home, dried it out, and as a result of starting to read that, and particularly John's Gospel, he gave his life to the Lord. He then led his wife to the Lord, and she led two of their daughters to the Lord, and he led his two sons to the Lord. One discarded Bible, and we've already found six people who have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. But it didn't stop there, because they did what we're encouraged to do, and that is share the good news with those around us. So I'm encouraging everyone here to pick up one of these. I don't know how many there are, Ruth. 40? plus this one, 41. So there aren't 41 people here this morning. But I encourage all of you to take one, pray about it, because we're coming into Advent and the lead up to Christmas. And I can tell you that more people are interested in Christianity. Well, that's true as well. But that this is the season when people are more open to us talking about. Even atheists. I can't think of his name now. Chap in Birmingham. Outstanding atheist who complained to the people, to the those in charge, mayor, so on and so forth, because they'd cancelled the carol singing. And he wanted carol singing. And because of who he was, outstanding atheist as well, they allowed carol singing in the squares in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Praise the Lord. And you, I can guarantee, if you pray about it, I'm sorry I'm going to use Tom Hamlin's name again, but when I first joined the Gideons, I was his understudy. And he taught me so many things, but nothing more importantly than this. When you finish your quiet time in the morning, pray, Lord, lay on my heart today a soul. And be prepared, because God has a sense of humour. He may not give you one. As happened one day on the way to a school placement, he gave Tom three. Now, we're rushing to a school to be there for assembly, and he suddenly sees a person sitting on a seat along the Bath Road, and he pulls over to a screech, gets out, goes back, takes out of his pocket a Gideon Testament, and sits down and talks to him for a couple of minutes. And this went on three times, and we got to the school by the skin of our teeth. So please, take one, pray about it, ask God to lay somebody's soul on your heart, and he will. So, back to my... I can't remember what time I have to finish by. Oh, whenever, okay. I said to Jennifer, 12 o'clock I'd be away. Psalm 105. But today is set aside to remember those who have given their lives for the freedom of others. And we need to give thanks for extraordinary acts of courage and selflessness, and to remember the sacrifice that brought us the peace we cherish. Remembering is such an important part of this annual act of thanksgiving. Because if we do not labor to remember, we are likely all too quickly to forget. I forget. I didn't watch last night's event, so I can't remember how many veterans were there. Was it just 20?
Yeah,
20. And there'll be even less next year. So we do need to remember. Sadly, for some people, today will come and go without them giving any real thought to the meaning of today. What and why do we need to remember? We remember the reality of what happened. We remember the dedication of those who fought and died. And remembering should stir within us a sense of gratitude and appreciation. Remembering the commitment and sacrifice of others should also strengthen our own resolve to do our part in serving God and others. Throughout the Bible, God's people are instructed to stop and to remember what God has done for them. Psalm 105 is a song of remembrance of God's goodness to his beloved ones. It traces his direction, provision, and protection through the history and lives of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, and Moses. For us as believers today, we can look back over history and how God has been active. God has been and continues to be at work in the daily lives of his people. How often do you take the time to remember what God has done in your life? How often do you just pause and thank him for his presence and provision in your life? When you see some of the pictures of the destruction, both in the Middle East and further afield, I look at Palestine and you think, however can this rise again? All those piles of rubble which were once houses. There is a natural progression in what happens when we pause, when we make time to remember. It's important that we take the time to thank God for what he has done. Do you find yourself breaking into songs of worship and praise as you rejoice in his goodness to you? Or is the only time you sing is when you are in church? What about when you're at home or in the car? Sadly, I don't sing in tune. People have often asked me what gift I would like, often wanting me to speak in tongues. I would love to have the gift of a good voice. Then I could have stood at the front this morning and led you in those hymns. Well, the ones I knew. How often do you take the opportunity to tell others what God has done in your own life? Often we hear testimonies and they're 30 years old. That's good. But if God is at work in your life, your testimony changes. Day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. And there's nothing more exciting than to see how a person has changed. I'm thinking of Lee's baptism here. And the fact he brought a lot of his mates along, many of them had never ever been in a church before, unless it was for a wedding, funeral, or a christening. And I'm hoping and praying that seeing Lee come up out of the water, that will inspire them and want them to be involved. I was hoping he was going to be here this morning because I was going to say to him, this is the time to invite them back again for your carol service. I'm assuming you're going to have a carol service and the Christmas services. Maybe you will talk with a few Christian friends in church, or maybe there have even been times when you have come forward and given your own testimony about what God has done in your life. But what about to your family and friends who are not Christians? Do you tell them what God has done and is still doing in your life? It's very hard, you know, to speak to non-Christian members of your family. Are you telling them about the difference God has made in your life? Are you telling them about the difference God could make in their lives? All of us have many things to be thankful for. I could challenge you to go home and write down all the things that you have that a lot of people that these boxes are going to go to don't have. All of us have experienced the love, mercy, and grace of God at work in our own lives. All of us should be willing to tell others about his greatness. Maybe if we took more time to remember how God has had his hand upon our lives, then telling others about his love and goodness would come a little more naturally to each and every one of us. Perhaps the key for us is not just being able to rejoice in what God has done in the past, we can also remember that Jesus is our future and security. Jesus willingly left the glory of heaven to come on a rescue mission to save us. Jesus came because of his love for us. Jesus came to restore our relationship with God the Father. Jesus came to die on the cross so that by shedding of his own blood, we could be forgiven. Christ's sacrifice on the cross was sufficient to pay the price for the sin of everyone who repents and trusts in Jesus as their Lord and Saviour. When Jesus rose from the grave, he conquered death, he conquered hell, he conquered the grave. Then he ascended into heaven, and he has gone to prepare a place for those who believe and trust in him as Saviour. And one day he is coming back.
Yes.
On this Remembrance Sunday, let us remember his sacrificial love for you and for me, because he has saved us. Remember, you are set free from the burden of your sin. Remember that you are now a forgiven child of God. Remember that by trusting in him and him alone, you are assured of a place in heaven. Remember, God has a perfect plan for your life. We saw it on the video there, a quote from Jeremiah. Remember, even when life is tough and things don't seem to make sense to you, remember that God is in control. Remember the words of Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid and do not panic, for the Lord your God will neither fail you nor abandon you. And again in Joshua chapter 1, verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. Obey all the laws Moses gave you. Do not turn away from them, and you will be successful in everything you do. Remember, God is with you. He is always with you. There is no place that we can go to escape his loving presence. God is not far off. He is always near to each one of us. In Psalm 139, and you know I love this psalm, and I've preached on it a number of times in this church, King David declares there is absolutely no place that he, David, could go to escape the presence of God. If David goes up to heaven, God is there. If David descended the place of the dead, God is there. David goes on to say that wherever he goes, the hand of the Lord will lead him and hold him. That is an amazing promise, and we need to remember it. Wherever we go, God goes with us. Psalm 139, 1 to 4, these verses describe an attribute of God which simply means all-knowing. God knows everything. Remember, there is no question God cannot answer. There is no problem that can confuse God. God is never surprised. He is never shocked. God never says, I didn't expect that to happen. These verses in Psalm 139 tell us the truth that God does know everything about us. We cannot hide our heart, our motivation, or our motives from him. Remember, God knows everything, and he sees deep into our hearts. God is familiar with all our ways. Remember, he knows where we are. He knows what we are doing. He knows why we chose to do what we do. Remember, he knows all our habits, both the good habits and also the bad ones. Remember, he knows our areas of strength and our areas of weakness better than we know them ourselves. Remember, he knows when we want to be in church worshiping him, and he knows when and why we choose to allow other things as a priority over him in our lives. Remember, he knows when we are willing and joyfully serving him and others, and he also knows when we just can't be bothered to do anything at all. Remember, God has a plan for your life. Your past, your present, and your future all the days ordained for you were written in your book before you came into existence. Jennifer has three, I think they're called baby books. Is that what they're called, Jennifer? Just nod. Or shake your head. Yes, baby books. So, you know. And so Catherine's got one, tells us first word she said and when she said it, and so on and so forth, and then Lucy and then Abigail. And I thought of that when I ever think of this, that before we were formed, God had a book for us. It came back to me again when Judy was reading something out of her little book that she had up here. And I thought, yes, God has a book for you, Christian, for you, Edna, and so on and so forth. We're not going to go around the whole church because I'm going to forget somebody's name. And then I really will be embarrassed. But God had a book for you and I before we came into existence. Why I love Psalm, I'm not going to digress into Psalm 139, you'll be pleased to know, but why I love Psalm 139, there's those verses slap bang in the middle, which talk about us being perfectly formed. Doesn't that make you want to shout out hallelujah? Thank you, Lord. We may look strange and we may have oddities, but God knows everything about us and the forming of us.
He already knows the end of our book.
Yeah, he knows the end of your book.
Doesn't tell.
Now that's the surprise you're going to get.
Yeah.
And it'll be a good surprise.
Yeah.
God has a purpose for you, not just you, Christian, but everyone else. And God has a plan for you. You, believe it or not, are God's masterpiece. Remember, we cannot escape God's presence. God's presence is always with us, whether we are aware of it or not. And I meant to look up that lovely King George VI used it in his Christmas speech one year. Put your hand, go out into the world and put your hand in the hand of God. Remember, he wants us to know him. He wants us to feel his love. Remember, he wants us to be the people he has called us and saved us to be. He wants each one of us in this church this morning to be on fire disciples for him. I'm going to close, if I may, by one of the most famous, probably, poems from the First World War, written by John McCrae, entitled In Flanders Fields, as we remember those who gave their lives for us. Just before I read this, I told you all Jennifer wasn't coming today because she was involved in another service. Well, that was last Sunday. She got her weeks mixed up. Greyfriars always has, once a year, a Sunday when we remember those who have passed on that we know. Maybe your husband, your wife, a child. And I think it's a lovely service. I know other churches do it as well. Do you do it here? No. Anyway, the poem. Okay. Something for you to think about. In Flanders fields the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place. And in the sky the lark still bravely singing, fly scarce heard amidst the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago we lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders fields. He died shortly after writing that poem, there in the First World War. Let's just bow our heads for a short prayer. Father, help us to continue to remember not just the First and Second World Wars, but all the wars that have gone on subsequently. We think of all those women and children, innocent, who have died as a result of conflicts. And as we look at certain areas of the world today, and we see rubble upon rubble upon rubble, that once were towns or villages, our hearts go out and we can't fail to weep. Pray this morning that you will encourage leaders to work towards peace. Not just peace in our time, but continuous peace. Father, you can do all things. And I know that you've given us free will. And because of free will, evil has its way. But Father, we pray that the day will come when there will be everlasting peace. And Father, be with any in the church this morning who has lost a loved one over the last, say, decade. It can still be raw. I remember in the case of my own mother that all the anniversaries and the birthdays she found very hard to cope with. So give strength to those who are remembering their own loved ones this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. We're now going to sing, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind.